Good morning, Atlanta. I'm your host, Dana Barrett. My co-host, Elizabeth Gordon, has spent the morning trapped in the elevator, so she's just getting her coffee and getting herself together. Take it easy, Elizabeth. No rush. No rush. But welcome to the show. And we're hanging out today. It's another Wednesday here in Atlanta. It's June 27th, and which means July 4th is almost upon us. Yay for vacation.
I'm so excited about 4th of July, as you know.
Oh, my God. You know what? I think we all need a break. And joining us in the studio today for, you know, some general chat is the National Director of Project Single Mom, Stephanie Clark. Welcome, Stephanie.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. We're glad to have you here. We always need somebody else to keep us in line. So
thank you for the invitation to be here.
We give directions. I was just whispering directions. Why did I just not say it? There you go. We're a very casual show here, so we, you know, everybody can take off their shoes, put their feet up, get their coffee, take their time.
Sounds great.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the way morning radio should be.
Totally. There's no pressure here. I do want to jump into Project Single Moms, but before we do that, and of course the 4th of July and some events going on around town, we'll talk about that too coming up, specifically the Georgia Aquarium Red, White, and Brew.
That's right.
We will talk about that. But there's a couple little news stories that I think we need to hit as it relates to business in general, business in Atlanta, and just general online annoyances.
Go for it, Dana. Yeah. I can't wait to hear what follows an introduction like that.
I know you love to hear what I'm annoyed by. So I don't know if you guys are... All right. First of all, is there anybody in the world at this point who's not on Facebook?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
Okay. With the exception of my mother.
Yeah, there's some of the older set that are resisting. And it's funny because, you know, we were talking before we came on the air, Stephanie and I, about our age, which we won't say on the air, but we're women of a certain age. We'll just say.
Yes.
We both have daughters in college. And I know there's some of my friends, one or two of like 100 people I know, who are resisting and will not get on Facebook.
Yes.
And really, I'm like, just do it already. What is your problem?
No, you're absolutely right. I actually have some siblings who have, I guess they're just not technology savvy.
Yeah.
And I think it's more so in intimidation than
sure.
anything, just not really knowing how to work your way around the computer and just that fear of learning something new.
I know. It's so silly.
I have a sister who's in her 50s, and we've all been trying to get her to join Facebook for the longest, and she finally did. And so we're like, yay.
I know, you're like celebrating.
Welcome to the world.
And you're like, you know what, you don't even have to use it that much. If you just set it up so if something does happen on there, you can get a notification. Well, that is what I'm about to bitch about. But anyway, yeah, it is irritating because when you do have those people that aren't in your world, so if you want to send out an invitation to something and you can send it to like 98% of the people
right.
through Facebook, but then you have to like two
go
other
by,
people.
Like an invitation package.
I know, really. You're like, come on, mom and dad, let's go. All right. So speaking of irritation, so I don't know if anybody noticed over the weekend that Facebook has changed the way your email settings are now automatically without asking anybody or any kind of pre-warning or whatever.
Right. That's typically how they like to roll these technology changes out.
Why do they do that? I mean, at least with Microsoft and some of the others, when they're going to do something, you get a warning. Hey,
right.
we're about to upgrade this. Do
right.
you want to take part? Yes
right.
or no?
Yeah. Usually doesn't make any sense and you have no idea.
Right, but at least you
but
know.
At least.
Right.
You've been
right.
warned.
They made an effort.
But you know
effort.
What? I think they do it because even though people may complain.
They get used to it.
They stay on
yeah,
Facebook.
Yeah, they do. I know. So they changed it. So now everybody's been given an automatic email address with your page name and then at Facebook.com.
Right.
This is their attempt to take over for Gmail, I guess,
mm-hmm.
right? So everybody will have a Facebook email account now, and maybe they're hoping that you'll centralize all of your behavior onto Facebook. Not going to happen, people. But no, not going to happen. But anyway, they also, in doing that, they didn't just, you know, generously give you that email address. They generously gave you that email address and changed your settings so that when people look at your account now, they see that as your email address. So stupid and annoying.
So are people going to start emailing me at this email address?
It's very possible. Well,
where does that go? How does
that happen? Into Facebook, I guess.
I guess we can choose to opt out and not use it, right?
Yes. But I was reading about it this morning, and they said it's actually not even that obvious how to get out of it. Like, so basically, I'm going to read it because I think this is a service for our listeners. Mm-hmm. If I can find it, I printed it out, I think. Hold on. Hold, please. Or maybe I didn't. I was having printer problems this morning. This is another technology that I just love. You buy these printers nowadays where they have 10 different ink cartridges. Have you guys, you know?
Yes.
And so
they're very expensive.
And then, well, I bought a cheapy one thinking, but it has like four different cartridges, right? And so they go bad one at a time. So I'm constantly changing the stupid cartridges.
I feel like every other week I'm at Office Depot.
Right. Oh, wait, this week it's the magenta that's out. I don't print in magenta. Why is that out? Who prints in magenta? Come on. All right. Well, I don't have it in front of me, but the bottom line is that it's complicated. It's not just as simple as going into your account settings. I believe you have to jump through a couple of hoops and look at your email settings under account settings, and then it shows both of those email addresses, and I think you can either choose to show one or both or neither on your Facebook account. So just be aware
so
of it.
There is something you can do to go.
That's good information.
Yeah. And if you're not sure what it is, just Google it. I'm sure it's all over the web right now how to opt out of it. But be aware of it. And if you don't want that as your email address, go ahead and hide that. And also, I think, you know, everybody's gotten real sensitive about Facebook privacy settings over the years. And some people are much more hardcore about it than others. But I think it's probably a good idea to just take your email address and not show it at all. Like, you can have it on there so it notifies you, but you don't have to have it showing on your profile. And I would suggest that people probably ought to do that. Because nowadays, I don't know about you guys, but I've gotten pretty lax about who I'll let be my friend on Facebook, because in large part for me, it's a business networking thing.
Exactly.
It's a part business, part family, part friend thing.
Right.
And so I have people on there that I don't really know. In fact, another news story, huge headline over the last 24 hours, is that Nora Ephron passed away, which is, you know, very sad. She was not very old. She was 71. She had some kind of leukemia-ish blood disorder, I believe, that finally just sort of took its toll. But, you know, obviously she's the producer and writer of movies like When Harry Met Sally and all of that. So she was a great loss sort of for women in media. All that to say, her sister, Delia Ephron, is randomly my friend on Facebook because of some of the connections that I have through the book publishing world. And but, you know, not that Delia Ephron's going to email me. So I'm not saying she's a stalker, but you never know. Because
you could email her now.
I could. Send her my condolences.
That's right.
But the point is that, you know, there's definitely people on there I've never met, like Delia Ephron, who probably don't need to have my personal email address. Though Delia can email me. Email me, Delia. Just saying. But all right, moving on from Facebook. I'm done with my rant for the morning. You have any rants this morning, Elizabeth? Anything you want to bitch about?
Not too much. I'm just glad I made it here.
Out of the elevator?
Yeah, all in the elevator.
Elizabeth is the kinder, gentler host of the show. She's much sweeter than me.
We have where our studio is actually on. I think when we had some people in here from the city, they were saying that that is the steepest ridge in the whole, like inside the perimeter.
Oh, that hill, little hill that we have to walk up
from the parking garage to our studio.
Nice. It's really funny.
The elevator is always an adventure, but you always meet nice people in there. Like, I was stuck in there with this other woman, and so we were chatting as we went up to nine, back to two, up to nine, back to two.
I was saying to Stephanie, you know, there's another news story on the Business Chronicle this morning about obesity and Coca-Cola and their take on obesity and if they believe the fight against obesity is going to affect the beverage industry and what they're doing to try to help and all of those things. But I was saying to Stephanie before we got on the air that, you know, I've lost a lot of weight over the last year. And so I still don't really think of myself as being really like in shape looking or thin looking, though I know intellectually that I kind of am, but it's my brain isn't entirely caught up. So I was walking up the hill. Also, I am P.S. a woman of a certain age. I've already mentioned that today. So I'm hiking up that biggest hill in Atlanta this morning, and this random guy in an SUV like opens his car window and looks out and says, "You must work out," to me. And I was like, "I do." And he was like, "You look great." And,
nice.
And yeah. And then he showed me his guns. You know, he held up his arm and made a muscle for me. It's pretty funny. And he gave me like two thumbs
up. So it's that kind of a hill. It's a hill you could get hit on. It's so large.
Oh yeah, yeah, that and like the fact that
I'm in that space hill more often.
Yeah, and I think the fact that I was like just like, you know, power walking up the hill.
Well, because like, as you're power walking up the hill, you will see other people that are taking a break. Like they will actually have stopped mid hill because they're like,
this
"Dude,
is horrible.
This is hard.
Yeah,
like I need a cigarette, and that I'll do hilarious. The second half in a minute. Like
I need a beer and a cigarette, and then I'll go again. Hilarious." Yeah, that is true. You need to come down here and work with us, Stephanie, so you can tackle that hill.
Yes, I do. And so I could walk up that hill and shed some pounds.
But it's funny because we walk up the hill and then we get around the corner and we walk up the stairs to come in here too. And I'm like, okay, that was my workout for the day. I don't feel bad.
That's how I felt when I got here.
It's true. Yeah, like I burned a few calories right there. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind having that extra piece of bacon at breakfast. Just saying. All right, let's take a break from all this big stuff and talk about something more important, which is Project Single Moms. So tell me a little bit about what it is first, and then we'll dig in.
Sure. Well, I founded Project Single Moms 5 years ago.
Okay.
And what we do is we work to create opportunities in the areas of education, employment, and entrepreneurship to help enhance the quality of life for single mothers and their children. So we have various programs that we offer to single mothers to help them start businesses. Actually, yesterday we just launched our summer session of the Small Business Academy for Single Mothers.
Sweet.
It's a virtual 6-week virtual training program, and we're working with 12 Academy CEOs. That's what we refer to them across the country. And they're taking this journey together to learn how to start and operate a home-based business as a way to supplement their income or to, you know, increase or just start a business
just
altogether.
To have income. Yeah.
Exactly.
So is the organization, are most of the people that take advantage of it here in Atlanta, or is it a national?
We are a national organization, but we are based here in Atlanta.
Okay.
So a lot of the programming that we do is here, offered here in the metro Atlanta area.
I gotcha. And what inspired you to start this?
Well, I am a seasoned single mom.
Me too, girl.
For a very long time. And actually, before I started Project Single Moms, I started another nonprofit organization in New Jersey called My Daughter's Keeper.
Aww.
And we work to help mothers who are raising adolescent daughters strengthen their relationships through counseling and family workshops. And one day, I also coach mothers and daughters on relationship and communication issues. One day, several years ago when I was still in New Jersey, I realized that the majority of the families that we were working with through our program were single moms. And so I also realized that many of the mothers that I had been coaching, who happened to be the mothers of my daughter's friends,
right?
Unfortunately, they knew where I lived. So I would get knocks on my door at all hours of the night. My daughter, I don't know where she's at. She's acting strange. And so I was there, you know.
She became the person that everybody went to.
Yes, yes. And so one day I was cleaning up. And I started reflecting on all the mothers and the conversations, the moms that were crying on my shoulder, talking about how difficult it was to be a single mom. And then I started thinking about my own life as a single mom. And I said, you know what? Life as a single mom, it is hard, but I'm like, it's been easy for me.
Yeah.
And let me explain that.
Yeah.
What I realize is that although it can be very difficult raising children on your own, parenting on your own, and I've had my share of hardships and struggles, you know, as a single mother. But what I finally realized is that all of the struggles and triumphs and hardships I've had nothing to do with me being a single mom, but they had all to do with me being a woman who happened to be a single mother who's made some poor choices in various areas of my life.
Right.
Like dating the wrong men.
Sure.
Not managing my money.
Sure.
Not getting exercise and taking care of my health.
Sure. So, all things you can do whether you're a mom.
Absolutely.
Whether you're single, whether you're married.
Absolutely. Right. So I realized, well, my life as a single mom has not been easy because, thank God, you know, my daughter's not perfect, but she's been a wonderful child and she's never given me any problems. And I've worked with a lot of mothers and daughters who have given their mothers a lot of challenges and issues, but that has not been my story.
Though I have to say, because we're a similar age and we have similar age daughters, and I'm also a single mom, and I take credit sometimes. I mean, sometimes I think I just got lucky because I also have a daughter that's, for all intents and purposes, a really good kid. I mean, she's been a good student. You know, she's never gotten in any real trouble. I mean, little things here
Our
and there.
Our daughters should meet.
Yeah, they really should. And they both are in Boston in college. So funny.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, they're right around the corner. We should email them and be like, you guys go have
that's
coffee.
That's right.
But so, you know, I sometimes think I just got lucky, you know, the genetics, whatever. But the truth is, sometimes I do think it is how we raise them that
Absolutely.
Made them good. I mean, I think there is something about, and you know, one of the things as women, and Elizabeth, I'm sure you can appreciate this too, even as not a mom, that we don't take enough credit for what we do.
Absolutely.
I find myself apologizing quite a bit for things I shouldn't be apologizing for. And we don't stand up and say, you know what, I did this.
That's
and you
right.
know what, I did do this.
Yes,
I raised an amazing kid. And my ex-husband, bless his little sweet southern heart, he didn't do a damn thing. All right? He was there. He was around. He wasn't a deadbeat dad. But really, when it comes to the values and the way she was raised, that was all me.
Right.
And, you know, I think that those moms that, and I'm not calling anybody out, because sometimes you do just have a kid that is trouble, and no matter how good you are, it just happens. But I think a lot of it is the attitude you bring to the table as a parent. What you will put up with, what you won't put up with. What you expect from your kids, what you don't. I mean, look at the Tiger Mom. Not that I was one of those at all. But part of that is expectations of your kids.
Absolutely. And believe it or not, a lot of that has to do with how we were raised. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I ended up, as a result of having this moment of realizing that, you know what? My needs are different. My needs as a woman are different than my needs as a single mother.
Yeah.
And recognizing that, again, that the issues that I've had as a woman really had nothing to do with the issues that I've had as a single mother.
Right.
Okay. And so I decided to write a book.
Excellent.
To share the strategies that I used in parenting my daughter.
Yeah.
And so I wrote a book called Life as a Single Mom. It isn't easy, or is it?
Yeah.
And it talks about 10 steps toward achieving success as a single mother.
Yeah.
But what I did, I reached out to single mothers across the country and invited them to share their stories, parenting on their own, sharing their triumphs and their trials. And so out of over 200 submissions, I ended up accepting 42 single mothers to include their stories in the book.
Sweet.
Yeah. And so it became a guide, you know, like you said, apparently I was making some right choices and doing the right things to produce a healthy, productive, brilliant young daughter.
Right.
And so I decided to share those parenting steps, not just with single mothers, because really the parenting steps can apply to any parent raising any child,
sure,
whether you're married or not.
Sure. Sure. And I think, you know, getting back to sort of what Project Single Moms is all about, you said it best, I think, when you said it has a lot to do with how you were raised. I mean, you know, you have an example of in your own parents and your own mother sort of about how to be a mom, but not everybody has a good example to fall back on. Mm-hmm. And so I think in a way I can see being a part of an organization like Project Single Moms and sort of, you know, almost filling in, providing that good example.
Yes, exactly.
Is really, really valuable. I was raised also by a single mom. And so I knew that it could be done, and I knew that it could be done well. And so I didn't really have a big fear of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I too, my mother, my father died when I was two, and there were 11 out of 13 children at home.
Oh my goodness.
So I raised, and I was number 13.
Oh my goodness.
so
you really knew
up,
it could
yeah,
be done.
I grew up watching my mother raise 11 children.
Wow.
Being self-employed because
she had
her own business.
She needs an award.
She does.
Wow.
God bless her. She does.
God bless her heart. Jeez.
Well, Stephanie, when a woman is struggling with being a single mom, so trying to raise a family as well as produce an income, you mentioned the idea of self-employment.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit more about why that's so important to be able to create a flexible and profitable means of income for a family in that situation?
Absolutely. First, let me say there are almost 12 million single mothers in America. And many of those mothers are struggling. Many have been affected by the economy. They have been laid off. And you have many single mothers that are working but are underemployed, still not making enough money to make ends meet. And so as an organization, what we do is we work to create opportunities to give single mothers a hand up, a long-term hand up, and not a short-term hand out. Meaning instead of giving them a fish, we're teaching them how to fish so that they can become economically self-sufficient. And we know that one of the ways to lead them toward economic self-sufficiency is self-employment. Because the job market, it's very competitive. And, you know, even if you are educated, if you have a bachelor's, a master's degree, it's just very competitive to be
and
able
cyclical.
To get a job.
I
Absolutely.
Mean, no matter how smart you are,
yes.
you're always going to be subject to that ebb and flow that
That's right.
is part of the economy.
That's right. And so as a seasoned entrepreneur, actually, I consider myself a serial social entrepreneur. I've started four businesses over the past 12 years, two for-profits and two non-profits. So I've learned a lot of lessons and I've made a lot of mistakes. And so I decided that I wanted to pour into other single mothers my knowledge and experience in helping them start their own home-based businesses, again, as a means to help create some financial security for their families. And so, as I already mentioned, our Small Business Academy for Single Mothers is one of the ways that we do that. We just recently launched another initiative called Cupcake Cause. Now, I don't know about you, but I love Cupcake Cause, and Cupcake Wars is one of my favorite shows that I love to watch. And the cupcake phenomenon is still very present. You
right.
know, now when you go to any event, you rarely see a cake. You see cupcakes
That's
or
true.
Miniature desserts. And so I got the idea that, okay, looking for cost-effective business models that we could train single mothers in to help them be able to start businesses. I said, well, starting a cupcake business is not very difficult. Most people know how to bake, have the basics of baking.
Not me.
I said most people.
Yeah.
And so
I could make like a really bad cupcake.
Okay.
That could
well,
be my business.
Maybe you
should come
to
our training program. So through Cupcake Cause, what we're doing is we're training single mothers to become bakers, caterers, and business operators.
That's awesome.
But also what we're doing as an organization is we're using Cupcake Cause to generate earned income to help us train the single mothers, as well as provide part-time temporary employment opportunity for those single mothers who are going through our training program or for those single mothers who are currently unemployed. So, you know, we're marketing Cupcake Cause to businesses and organizations. Anyone that's planning an event and they need cupcakes, we want them to hire Cupcake Cause because they're supporting a great cause and helping us to create employment and entrepreneurial opportunities when they hire us to cater the cupcakes for their events.
That's very cool. And who doesn't love cupcakes, like you said?
Exactly.
Those food trends kill me. I mean, one of the funny ones. So obviously, cupcakes are huge right now. Burgers are huge right now.
Yes.
You know, and for a while now, making everything smaller, like yes. the sliders.
Yes.
So you don't feel like you're eating
That's
17
right.
billion
That's right.
calories. Exactly. But you are.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you're, like you're in a little dollhouse with yeah. like mini
with
stuff.
Mini, with all this mini food, it doesn't really count because it's smaller.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It counts, people. Just saying. That's neither here nor there. It's not what we're talking about, I realize. But, you know, it's one of my little pet peeves. What are some of the other programs that you guys have going on over there?
Well, we do work in the community, working with single mothers that reside in public housing communities. And we have a program called Daring to Go Deeper to move single mothers from poverty to prosperity. Because there are a lot of single mothers and children that are living in poverty right here in the metropolitan Atlanta area, let alone the country as a whole. And so although there are a lot of programs that social programs that are available to assist these families, but we feel because the majority of these families that live in the public housing communities are led by single mothers, that it's necessary to be willing to go deeper to really reach and connect with this population of single mothers, because it's not just a matter of offering a program with the expectation that they're going to come. Because I talk to a lot of community organizations throughout the city, and their major complaint is that they have the money to provide the programs, but people don't show up. And so why is that?
Right.
And we believe that it's a mental thing. You know, when you're working with a population that's part of generational poverty, you only know what you know. And when you have not had access and exposure to opportunities that are designed to give you a hand up instead of giving you a short-term handout and keeping you stagnant from moving beyond your current circumstance, then you don't have the motivation to want to take the initiative to take the bus to go to an organization for a program.
Yeah.
And so we dare to go deeper by going to these sites.
Right.
And working directly with these single mothers to become their accountability partners.
Right.
To help them put together, to set goals and to make sure that they're accountable to taking the steps to completing those goals. I'm very excited. One of my personal mentees, who currently resides in one of the public housing communities, and back in January, we started working, going into the facility during our programs. We do a Pamper Empowerment Party, and that's our point of engagement where we invite the moms to come out and learn more about the organization. But we also take them through a vision boarding exercise to teach them about the importance of having a vision for your life and what that vision looks like,
right,
so that they can aspire to something besides what they're used to.
Right.
And then from that program, we take them to an empowerment boot camp. And that's where we really begin to address the mess in their lives. And the mess stands for the mental, emotional, spiritual strains, which impede them from making the proper choices to want to move forward. And until you deal with a person mentally and help them get over those mental and emotional barriers, they're not going to be motivated or not desire to have more or work for more for themselves or for their children. So our boot camp really, really digs deeper to help them release whatever those mental and emotional barriers that are standing in their way from wanting to take the necessary steps to move forward with their lives.
It's so interesting because I can see two potential barriers. And, you know, just from listening to you talk, I mean, I think clearly getting them to take that first step to show up at that first event, even if it's in their, in their backyard. And I can see mentally, I don't know about you all, but I think we're all, even regardless of our circumstances, in some ways as women, we all sort of operate from the same place, or, you know, a very similar place in that if it feels like charity, if it feels like a, you're looking down on me for any reason, I want no part of it.
And you know what? You're exactly right. And that's why our approach, we feel our approach is very effective, because our, we are a volunteer-led organization.
Yeah.
You know, led by single mothers, our volunteers, most of our volunteers are single mothers. People who facilitate our programs are mostly single mothers. So, and most of us, including myself, we've been there, done that.
Meaning
I've experienced what it feels like to live in poverty.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
But I've overcome.
Yeah.
Right.
So I know what it takes to move from poverty to prosperity.
Right.
And so when we go into the settings, we're not looking down at these ladies. We can look at them in the eye because we can share with them our experiences and tell them, you know what, I was once where you are now.
Right.
But I know what to do to help you move from where you are to be able to obtain prosperity for yourself and your family. And I believe that's the difference, is having women, single mothers, that are matched with these single mothers who have been there, done that, but who also are compassionate enough to say, you know what, I can help you. I'm not looking down at you. I want to help you along the way.
Right.
I want to become your accountability partner.
Right.
And so one of my men, a quick story, one of my mentees, that she was, she's gone through the programming after the boot camp. She emailed me the next day and she said, Miss Stephanie, now she's my age, but she calls me Miss Stephanie. She said, Miss Stephanie, I was so just moved and I felt like I got rid of the mess in my life from participating in the boot camp, that I registered for school, because her goal was she wanted to get back in school. She wanted to get a job so that she could move out of the public housing community. Guess what? She's back in school. She has a job. And Friday, I am going to take her to look at apartments.
Wow.
So that she'll be moving out by July 1st.
Nice.
This was, we set that these goals. So we set these three goals for her this past January to complete by the end of the year.
She's
ahead
of schedule.
6 months.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So a little motivation and somebody believing in you and somebody, you know, providing access and showing you that there is more beyond your current circumstance and situation. But again, if you've grown up, if your mom and your grandma have all grown up in poverty and this is all you know, then sometimes you don't feel like there's anything more for you.
Right.
And
right.
So I'm really excited. As you can hear, I'm very passionate about this program and the work, because, you know, for me to see this young woman, you know, who, and there are many single mothers like her who are just looking for someone to give them a hand up, someone to believe in them and to encourage them to say, you can change your life if you're willing to do the work.
Yeah.
And that's what we do.
Yeah. I love to hear the passion in your voice. I think that's amazing. That's what it's all about, right?
It's wonderful to hear that a program like this is going on right here in the city.
So I think that begs the question, if someone's listening right now who wants to either get involved as a volunteer or take advantage of some of the services as a client, how do they find you?
Well, one, they can go to our website, projectsinglemoms.com. You can become a member and it's free to join.
Okay.
And once you become a member, then you you fill out the membership form, then we are able to start to connect with you. The other thing we offer specifically for single mothers in the metro Atlanta area, we have a Project Single Moms Atlanta meetup group. So you can go to meetup.com and search for Project Single Moms Atlanta. I think we have over 200 single moms right now who have joined. Every day we have new moms join. And then we also list a lot of our activities and programs on Meetup so that you can, you know, see what programs and activities are taking place. But when you become a member, then you also start to receive email announcements about our various programs specific to the Metro Atlanta area. Or you can call us. And that number, we have an 866 number, the 866-531-8611. That's 866-531-8611. And we'll be happy to get you connected. Also, if you're interested in volunteering, please let us know. We love to have you volunteer. When we do work at the public housing communities, we are always looking for volunteers to canvass with us because we'll actually go walking through the community and knocking on the doors to talk to the single moms, to let them know that we're there as a way to engage them and get them out to our programs.
Wow.
Stephanie, how many more people do you think are out there that could use a program like this?
Oh,
like,
my God.
What's the reach potential?
Oh, my God. Like I said, there are over almost 12 million single mothers in this country alone. And there are hundreds of thousands of single mothers, you know, in the metro Atlanta area. And again, our program is not just for one type of single mothers, because there are so many different, you know, segments of single mothers.
Sure.
But regardless of whether you, your socioeconomic status, there is a way and an opportunity and a place for you at Project Single Moms. Just as Dana was saying, you know, we need single mothers like her who have successfully raised children to become mentors and accountability partners to some of the other single moms. We're actually going to be celebrating our fifth anniversary next month. And so we're planning our first fifth anniversary fundraiser in October, which is going to be called, believe it or not, the Big Cupcake Bake Off.
Awesome.
So we're going to be reaching out to single moms to submit their signature cupcake recipes to do a bake off. And it's going to be a big family fun event where family can come. We'll have live music, just a big festive event, but a way for us to engage our single moms and just kind of celebrate single moms. Because, you know, I met with someone day before yesterday about something for business. And we were talking. And when I said to her, I'm a single mother, she said, I'm sorry.
Oh, please.
I'm like,
why are
you sorry?
I know. What are you sorry for?
I'm like, don't be sorry for me.
I know.
You know, then I had to run it down. I'm like, look, I'm educated.
Right.
I've started four businesses. I have a daughter in college. So why are you sorry for
me?
Yeah,
I'm all good.
Exactly.
That's so funny.
But that's the mentality that we have to deal with oftentimes.
Well, and I think there are, like you said, there's a lot of different, there are certainly the single moms in the projects who are sort of the obvious candidates for people who need some help changing their circumstances.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of single moms sort of hiding in plain sight that still need programs, that still need help, that still need support.
That's right.
But it's funny when you tell that story. When I first got divorced, and, you know, I got divorced when my daughter was about three, and it was my choice. Mm-hmm. I was not in a happy marriage, and I looked at my situation and I said, you know what? I can stay here mm-hmm. for the rest of my life and be miserable, mm-hmm. or I can leave.
Right.
And do this on my own. And I believe I can do it. And it took me a long time to get up the courage to say, I want a divorce and I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of going through that after the fact, you know, and I remember people saying this, having the same attitude. I would say, well, I'm in the middle of a divorce, or I'm getting divorced, or I've just got divorced, or whatever. And they would say, oh, I'm so sorry. And I was like, really? Okay. But I never really knew how to respond to that. Because in a way, you do feel like it is a little bit of we were talking about this on the air the other day, a little bit of a failure, or you don't know. But I was getting my hair done, and this, let's just call him this fabulous hairdresser, said to me, I said, oh, you know, my divorce just became final last week or whatever. And he said, you go, girl. And I was like, yeah, that's the attitude.
Exactly.
That's what I want to hear. Not, I'm sorry.
Well, like, but you know, most single mothers, we are single by circumstance, not by choice.
Right.
In most cases.
Well, or, but it's right. But you accept your circumstance.
Yes.
And you can wallow in it as a negative,
exactly.
or you can choose
That's right.
to turn it into a positive.
And it doesn't make us less than
right.
because we are not married
right.
or we're parenting
right.
on our own.
And, so it's not something you need pity for.
That's
and
exactly.
that's what you were saying earlier,
right.
is that correct. Charity is not effective when it comes from a place of pity.
Exactly.
It's giving a hand up.
That's right. And, you know, to that point, we have to, our job is very difficult at times because there are single mothers who have bought into that being pity.
Yes.
And they seek that.
Yes.
You know, where I'm like,
right.
you know, wake up.
Feel sorry for
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, trust me
Whereas,
when I say that I chose to get a divorce, I chose that because it was the best option available at the time.
Yes.
I'm using the word choice because that's a stronger word for me.
Right.
But if I was making my life choices, I would have had a happy marriage and
yes,
I would have had
exactly.
a man that supported me and
That's
loved
right.
me and was there for me. Okay. That didn't happen. So then I chose
right.
to not put up with that.
Exactly.
So
still,
that's still a
circumstance. It's by the circumstance of divorce.
Correct.
Because, you know, I divorced for the same reason.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so, but when I say circumstance, I'm talking about divorce,
Correct.
Being a widower.
Yes.
You know,
right.
And some other,
you know, the guy didn't show up at the altar,
That's right.
whatever the case may be. He didn't show up the next day after, you know, the baby was conceived. You know, I'm just saying there's all kinds of circumstances.
Exactly. Exactly.
I have a family member, a young woman in my family right now who just is a distant-ish relative. I'm trying to so not name names right now, but who's in her late 20s and just had a baby and she's not with the father. And so she's a single mom by circumstance. I'm sure if she were planning out her life,
yeah.
that's not what she would have said she wanted to do.
Right.
But that's what happened. So there
right.
you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's great that you guys are out there for them. So again, it's Project Single Moms and the website is projectsinglemoms.com.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about July 4th, kids, before we get too far away from that.
Yes,
it's
if you'd
up.
Like to taste some of the delicious cupcakes for a cause,
you can get them
Stephanie
at...
Stephanie will be at the aquarium, or
yes.
the Cupcakes for a Cause is donating some cupcakes for the dessert tasting on the rooftop. So yes, Red, White, and Brew is the now annual 4th of July fundraiser for the Georgia Aquarium.
Very exciting.
It raises money for the SEA program, which is the educational program where the aquarium offers discount and free admissions to children who might be in a situation mm-hmm. where they can't afford to have access to come and participate in the educational program.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really the idea is for it to be a eye-opening opportunity mm-hmm. for people in our community who might not otherwise have access and to really get engaged with all the aquarium has to offer, not just looking at the fish, but really learning about
yeah.
right.
The aquatic life and the sea and all of that.
Looking at the fish is nice, too.
Yes.
I like to look at the fish.
Right. So, and about all the conservation efforts that the aquarium is engaged in.
So the event itself is obviously on July 4th, which is next a week from today, next
That's
Wednesday.
Right.
And it starts at what time?
It's 6:00. So it's a beer festival inside the aquarium.
Exciting.
From 6 until, you know, right around whenever the sun is down.
Usually, I think that's getting pretty late, right? 8:30, 9:00, something
it's
like
been,
8:30?
I feel like lately. Well, we just had the summer solstice, so these have been, this last week has been like the longest days of
the
whole year.
Okay.
I mean, the sun's been up to like 9:30.
Right.
Okay. It's
right.
like freaking me out.
Yeah.
I'm like, I go to bed soon.
Yeah, like enough
I'm
of this.
Just gonna stay on all night. that'd be weird.
That would.
So I guess around 9 or 9-ish will mm-hmm. be when we'll do fireworks. So it's a great view. So then you go up to the top of the parking deck of the aquarium, and we'll have a whole, like, rooftop set up with, like, a VIP section
nice.
And desserts, mm-hmm. a lot of great
cupcakes.
Among
other things,
exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. A lot of great places have donated a lot. There's also a silent auction. I've been, as you've heard me talk, I've been all over the city, Midtown,
yes,
Virginia Highlands, Little Five, talking to restaurants. We've got a lot of great donations, so
awesome.
There's
yeah.
a lot of fun things to entertain yourself with that evening.
Very exciting.
Great.
Yeah.
I wish I was going. I'm going out of town, but I if I wasn't, I would so be there. So I'll be at the next thing where there's cupcakes for sure.
Yeah, so just go to the Georgia Aquarium website, georgiaaquarium.com, and look at events, and you'll find Red, White, and Brew. Buy a ticket. Buy several.
And so you can still buy advance tickets at this point, right?
You can. So, yeah.
$55
right now.
Advance tickets, all for good cause, keep in mind. And you get fed, you get to drink.
And I forgot about the barbecue.
You get
Williamson
barbecue.
Brothers barbecue. Ooh. Right. So it's beer, barbecue.
You can't just brush by that. It's Williamson Brothers barbecue, people. Yummy.
And Yacht Rock is playing.
Oh, and there's people that are just Yacht Rock addicts.
Sounds so, like a fun time.
Band.
I really wish I could be there. I really do. I'm a little bit jealous.
I'm pretty excited
to be a part of it.
I know.
Looking
I'm kind of jealous
it.
Of you, too.
Yeah, I think it's going
to
be really fun.
Though I have to say, I can say this since we've been talking about single moms. I'm going out of town with my new boyfriend.
Oh, yay.
For our first out-of-town venture together.
So. You go, girl.
So, that should be interesting. We were joking about it on the phone last night because we're driving to the beach, like a 5 or 6 hour drive. And we were like, what if we get 3 hours into it and we hate each other? You know? Well, we're going to Amelia Island.
Okay, wonderful.
But
that is always a danger.
It's like
first
a test.
Long travel.
Right. Because he was already like, well, what are we going to do in the car? Because, you know, like I am an audiobook girl and I'm a fiction. Mm-hmm. I like fiction and he doesn't read fiction. So he's already like, I don't want to do that. And then he goes, well, can't we watch a DVD? I'm like, no, one of us is driving, you knucklehead. It's like, but we can, you know, I'm no.
You know, you plug in Pandora, you put on some good tunes.
Yeah, that's what we're going to have
to. You sing your way,
you know,
your favorite songs, and you just sing your way along the journey.
Also, I hate to admit this, but I remember being about 10 years old and going on a car trip that length with my parents, and 5 hours felt like an eternity, you know? But at our age, it's like 5 hours, nothing. I mean, like, you turn around, you're there.
Yeah.
A couple pee breaks, you know?
Right.
stop for a Diet Coke, and you're good to go, you know?
Weird, like, yeah. Relatively,
like, oh, wait,
that's not a small...
Yeah.
Portion of your life.
Like the 10 or 12 hour drives still feel kind of long to me,
yes.
But the 4 and 5 hour ones, no big deal.
That's the max that I can do. I'm not a long distance.
That's all
driver.
I commit to
if it's
these
more
days.
More than 4
yeah.
hours, I got to fly.
And I got to tell you, I'm going to be doing a lot of driving over the next little while. I'm going to take this opportunity, Elizabeth, to promote a friend of mine just because that's kind of how I roll. Mm-hmm. So, one of my good friends is an author. Her name is Wendy Wax, and she writes women's fiction. And her new book, which is called Ocean Beach, just came out yesterday from Penguin. And she is – it's a great beach book. If anyone is looking for, you know, a good summer read, Ocean Beach is a really great page-turning. She's funny, you know, and women's issues, some single mom stuff actually in there is a great book for one of the characters is it's Wendy's first sequel.
Mm-hmm.
The first book was called 10 Beach Road, but you don't have to read them in order. But one of the characters is a – it's a bunch of different women, and one of them is a young girl who was a production assistant on movies, and she hooked up with the star and ended up pregnant and is now a single mom. So there's all kinds of interesting, fun little stories. And, but it's, you know, it's a full novel. Anyway, all that to say, the book came out yesterday. Last night she had a book launch at, I believe it was at the Book Exchange. Tonight she'll be at the Barnes and Noble at North Point. If anybody wants to go get their book signed, and then I think tomorrow night she will be at Book Miser in Marietta, I believe, also. But the reason I mention that is because she's got signings in Savannah and Charleston over the weekend, and I'm sort of going with her as her entourage. So we're going to drive Saturday morning early. We're getting up, and we're driving to Savannah. What's that, about 4 or 5 hour drive?
4 hours, yeah.
Then we're going to have lunch there. She'll freshen up. I'll look like her entourage, like a mess, I'm sure. Well, she'll do her book signing. Then we hop in the car and drive to Charleston.
Oh, nice. Two fun cities.
Right. And then we'll have dinner in Charleston. And we get a free hotel in Charleston from the publisher, paying for that, which is nice. And then she'll do the signing in Charleston on Sunday. And then we drive back. And then I'm turning around on Wednesday and driving to Amelia Island with the new man. So I'm probably going to be...
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know what...
But it's fun. It's an adventure.
I know.
So.
I need to just be like really loose about it.
Yeah.
Though I think at least I know with Wendy, who's been, unlike my new boyfriend, who I've only known for a few months, my girlfriend I've known for years and years and years, and we are on the same page. So we will happily put an audiobook in there, fiction, and we will be at peace. Like, no worries.
Right.
And also, P.S., as I'm sure you guys are with most of your girlfriends, we can talk to each other for 4 hours straight.
That's right. It makes the time go faster.
Oh, we could bitch. Her kids joke. She has two boys. And they are always like, they come downstairs and I come to visit on a Sunday afternoon at 4 or something at, you know, 8 o'clock at night, the wine bottle is empty and we're still running our mouths. And they're like, really? Are you still here, Miss Barrett? Like, really? Could you leave now? Like, but stop talking to my mom. So, yeah, I think even 4 hours in the car for two women is not a problem.
No, it'll be fun.
I'll report back after July 4th and let you guys know how all these car trips went. If I still have friends. My mom told me once, some of these stories are universal. You know, my mom, who again also was a single mom, went on a car trip with a woman friend of hers who they were good friends for many years. And they decided to go somewhere together. And my mom was filing her nails like the whole time or off and on. Like, she's I don't know why, but that was her thing. And this other woman was cracking her gum. and they were driving each other crazy. And neither one was really saying anything about it until several hours in. Finally, my mom was like, can you please stop cracking that gum? And the other woman was like, well, you can. I'll stop cracking the gum if you stop filing your nails. And they're really not friends anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. They are not friends anymore. Yeah. So car trips can be the death
that
of a friendship.
That is the kind of thing you have to be
very
right.
careful about. So I would advise not to do any car trips with your single moms. Just putting it out there.
Baking cupcakes together, though, everybody's in a good mood, having a good time.
When there's food involved, it's a good thing.
That's true. That's true. I think maybe the trick to car trips is to break them up, maybe?
Yes.
Stopping, having lunch, something like that, so it's not quite as obnoxious.
Yeah, well, it's good that you were, you know, planning it, talking about it beforehand. Because, yeah, it's bad if you just get in the car on the day of and you haven't had this discussion beforehand.
I was also thinking he's going to think about
one person's belting out tunes.
And the other person's like, seriously? Shut up. I want to sleep. Yeah.
See, that's me. I'm the sleeper.
Oh.
I automatically go to sleep when I'm on a road trip if I'm not driving.
Yeah.
And well, if one person's sleeping,
then the other person can do whatever.
Who's driving?
Right. I don't mind if the other person sleeps if I'm driving, especially if they don't want to listen to whatever I want to listen to. I'm like, you know what? You go to sleep. Put your headphones on. Do your thing. And I'll be over here listening to my audiobook. Peace out.
Right.
Okay. Before we get too far to the end, because we are getting close to the end of the show. Do you want to, is there any, you look like you have something to say, Elizabeth.
Well, I just wanted to mention that I had a great lunch up at Atlantic Station yesterday with two fabulous business women, Tula Caffey, who is a BB&T vice president and the regional market director, was telling me about all the interesting things that BB&T Bank is doing in the community in a lot of the multicultural areas, which we have a lot of those sections here in Atlanta, and they're really like getting involved. And they've got this bus that's like a huge like tour bus.
Okay.
And it has like BB&T, and it's like a bank on wheels. And the bus is going to be in Atlanta for the next week. So I want everybody to be on the lookout.
For
and
the
they're
BB&T.
Doing like they do financial banking 101 seminars.
Cool.
They do
How
things
cool is
in
that?
Other, you know, in Spanish or in Korean. They've got, you know, all these, it's multicultural.
That's
so they're
cool.
reaching out in the community and teaching people about, you know, first time home buyer, that kind of thing, financial literacy.
Great for single moms.
And
I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, oh.
We need to go on a tour with them. You know how many single moms we could.
Who need help with that? Yeah. That's a
great
idea.
So it's really cool. And I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah.
Look out for the BB&T bus.
All right. And I just had a couple quick news stories that piqued my interest as I was glancing through the paper this morning as I drank my, I don't know, fifth cup of coffee. There were two that really struck me. One is that Anheuser-Busch is going to trademark the ATL, the airport code ATL, the letters.
Really?
Right.
Yeah. You know, it said, this is what it said. Now, apparently, they're doing this with multiple cities. It's not just us.
Right.
But they actually have filed trademarks for 42 different airport codes, rather, including the ATL, which they're going to try to use, I think, in product names. And I think this apparently stems from, you know how sometimes some areas it's the area code?
Mm-hmm.
Like some cities, it's like that. I don't remember, but I guess Chicago, there's a beer called 312 that's inspired by the city of Chicago. And there's some things like that. So I guess they may be trying to do some local, because you know, it's so popular to be local now. And so they're trying to, you know, compete with local breweries and do this like the ATL, Anheuser-Busch ATL beer kind of thing.
Wow. Okay.
But don't you feel like of all cities, the ATL, that's like, you know,
we own that.
Well, it's such a common term anymore for Atlanta. Like people call it the ATL.
Exactly.
Like,
right. And there's that new playground at
ATL.
Woodruff Park downtown, which check out because it's ATL. Right.
Right.
So it's become very much a moniker of the city.
I was watching.
Like NYC. I mean, those would really be the only two that.
Right. Like people don't say LAX because that's the airport.
Right.
But for ATL, that's the city. It's not just the airport.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, I watch a lot of really reality TV and things like that. I shouldn't admit it. I'm supposed to be a professional, but I was watching So You Think You Can Dance, and they were brought, you know, they did an audition tour here in Atlanta at the Fox a couple months ago, I guess, and it was on the air in the last several weeks. And they said, you know, live from the ATL. I mean, that's what people call it.
Right,
so
right.
I don't want Anheuser-Busch to
Neither
have a
do I.
Trademark on that. Boo, hiss.
A petition.
Yeah, I know. Let's get something going. Hiss, boo.
Actually,
boo.
You think the city of Atlanta wouldn't want that.
You'd think the city of Atlanta should actually trademark it.
I would think so.
Let's call the mayor.
Right.
Elizabeth, get on that.
Yeah, you were the one who was on the stage with him last week.
That's
so
true.
We're pretty connected
that's
now.
That's right. I can get Monica Pearson to call him and we can work that out, I'm sure. The other one I just noticed, and we can talk about this in more detail next week because we are just about out of time, but the Metro Atlanta Chamber looks like has come up with a new plan called Forward right. Atlanta. And it sort of encompasses a whole bunch of different areas about economic development in the city of Atlanta.
It's the strategic plan that goes through 2025.
I know. Amazing, right?
I mean, talk about wow. long term.
I don't even want to think.
I don't think I didn't
far.
Know that I people know. Did 10 year, 12 year plans anymore.
I know. It's so hard to even think past a week from now for me. But I.
So,
but
yeah,
I
think we should get them on to talk about this a little bit more in depth with us. I agree.
And because whenever I read things like this too, I always wonder, you know, I'm a doer, not a planner, which is a terrible thing sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a good thing and sometimes it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But I always wonder when people sit around tables and they throw around a lot of buzzwords and they come up with the plan. I'd like to put that in air quotes. They come up with the plan.
Right.
Is it really executable, or does it just sound good on paper? Is it a good way to raise money? Is it really executable? Is it really something that is meaningful? And sometimes planners are just planners and doers are just doers, and the two don't always connect. And so I'm curious to see how they actually plan to take this paper mm-hmm. and turn it into action. Cause that's where I feel like a lot of times the floor falls out on these
right.
things. You know what I mean?
I agree.
So I would be curious.
It has to be actionable.
Yeah. I think we need to pursue this in some future episodes of Good Morning Atlanta and get them on to talk about it. You know, and see how much the city's buying into it. How much is it the Metro's plan? Mm-hmm. Who's involved, you know, and how do they go from the plan to 2025?
Right.
Yeah. Anything else before we wrap up, my friend?
I'll see everybody on the 4th of July at the Georgia Aquarium.
That's right. 4th of July, Georgia Aquarium. Again, projectsinglemoms.com. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. And it's been a blast.
And we're going to be airing a rerun on July 4th, people, because we'll be on vacation. And we will see you back here in 2 weeks.
That's right.
Have a great one.